Yeah. Okay, Mara B'Chavila, that sound good? Okay, let's do it. So,
stick to singing.
So, the Mishnah says in that test, Chavdi b'tashlum hechsharti b'mitzas nizko, Chavdi b'tashlum nizko kehechshar kol nizko. That there are cases at least where I really caused only part of the nezek, and yet I'm chayiv ki'ilu I caused all of it. So what are those cases? So the Gemara gives us a paradigm case, which is the clearest of all the cases discussed. So what's the case?
Four.
Yeah, Donnie? Yeah.
Nine, someone digs a nine button? Yeah.
Yep.
And then someone else comes and does the tenth tefa.
Yep.
The glass of the sky.
Yes. So according to the Rabbanon, the case is first person digs nine tefachim, the last guy digs the tenth. The achron is chayav for everything. Right? Rebbe seems to dispute that. Right? Rebbe clearly holds achar shneihem l'nezikin. Right? So how do you understand this machlokas? What's the controversy all about? Yoni.
It almost seems like a question of whether Maka B'Patish is, meaning as a metaphor, not as a metaphor.
Yeah, yeah.
That whether that...
It's one of those fancy words you used on...
actually, I didn't make up that one. So, I mean, it's a nice thing to make up. It's not really good. It's a little bit of me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
think it's reasonable to say that one side might be saying something along the lines of, since he brought it into the world, it made it mamish, a hazard, he is fully responsible. Whereas the other one would say that I think that it's very important that someone else did half the job making it a hazard.
So what does Machlokas turn on?
It turns on, I was kind of saying this, whether the guy who finished it is the person who rendered it a hazard by himself, or whether...
So you think it's machlokas about bor? Is that your sense? Like, is a bor less than 9/10 tefachim? Is that your sense?
Is it not? No, it's not considered to be a hazard. We're able to damage things.
Well, I think it's a bor l'nezek even less than 10 tefachim. Right?
Fine. Yeah, so I guess this is just a case in terms of harika.
No, we're talking about Linyan Nezikin here. Right?
So then there's no difference between a 9 and 10, because you're 5 for Nezikin if it's just 9.
Right. So what's going on?
I was saying, I don't think it's about Nezikin.
No, it's clearly talking about Nezikin. Yeah, it's clearly talking about Nezikin. Except for maybe a pointer at Papa, who says, let me say the right cost. So the Rabbanan say...
What's the Gemara talking about when it says Lamita? What do you think?
If someone dies in the bor.
Yeah,
so then...
Everyone's
his Achron's Chai.
Okay, fine, so you're saying that it's...
But Linezikin, right, so the Rabbanan hold the Achron's Chai, and Rebbe says you split liability.
Because it was already a hazard in terms of Linezikin before it was 10.
So what's the Machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan? What are they arguing about?
Didn't we discuss
earlier
about how much
like
an action
for me
through time, or
the internal
regardless
of work? Good. Yeah. So I think there's two ways to understand this machlokas. The first, well, they're closely related. I'm not sure if we'll be able to distinguish them. But the first, I think, is about whether you have to be the cause of nezek in order to be liable, or whether it's sufficient to have contributed to the nezek to be held partially liable. So this we saw earlier, I think, in the first semester, consists of machlokas amongst the Rishonim. So you might say that everybody agrees here who the cause of the harm is. It's the person who dug the last tefach. He's the goreim, he's the creator of the bor, he's the goreim of the nezek. But it's indisputable that there's somebody else who also contributed to the creation of the boar. Even though he's not the cause of the boar, but he participated in some way. And so liability is about participation in harmful actions. That would be the position of Revi. Achar Shnehem
Lenezikin. Why is the second cause?
Well?
Why is the last guy the cause?
Why is he the cause of the...
Can't
have
two brothers?
What's that?
Can't have two brothers?
Yeah, so the other way of... I think the other way... I mean, two. What do you mean, two causes?
They both cause the damage. You know they both cause it, but they both contribute to it.
So isn't that just a way of saying that it's all about contribution, or?
I guess what's the definition of cause is using the
yeah.
Only the second cause.
Good. So the second way I think we can interpret this is that they're arguing about what our conception of causation is. That's the second way of understanding the machlokas here. That everybody agrees that for the purpose of liability, you have to be the gorem. The question is, what constitutes being a gorem? Is it sufficient that you contributed, is it sufficient that you dug 9/10 of the boar? That makes you at least a mixas gorem? Or do you have to, is the person who only dug the last tefach considered to be the gorem? You don't get another different? As I said, it's not that they'll be able to distinguish between these two different questions. But you see how they're conceptually different, right? One of them is saying that, look, there's a clear cause of the injury, but there's somebody who was an accessory to causing it. Right? He helped you cause it happen. And the question is, do we hold an accessory liable in the same way that we hold a cause liable? The other way of looking at it is that, no, they're just both, they both cause the nezek to happen, because one is more primary than the other, or something like that. Or machlokas here is gufa, whether or not the second guy rises to the level of being the cause of the nezek. Self that you look confused.
Oh, yeah, just according to that second son, so machlokas is about the definition of cause, then the machlokas is just about whether a contributor is going to be cause of it. Enough of a cause to be like, and that's like in the case, it's just the same thing as the first one.
Same thing as the first one.
Yeah.
You think. Okay, so let's see the other cases. I think maybe in the other cases we'll have a little more success in disentangling the two interpretations. So, do you have your hand up, Noah?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, is it possible that within Rebbe's Peshitta, within Rebbe's Shita, that when he says the Shem and the Zikin, that, like, the reason for that would be something other than causation? Like some other technical reason why Rebbe would hold them both.
Like you're contributing.
That's fundamental.
What?
That's like a fundamental.
Not that I know of for the Divya Rebbe. So I'm just making a few comments on the boar issue. So is the discussion here, so one way you might think we can isolate these questions is by trying to figure out, well, what does it mean to contribute to the nezek? Right? So again, I'm not sure if this is going to solve the problem. Maybe this will, to use Zolti's phrase, maybe it'll help us like circle around it. That was Zolti said on Monday. So we're circling around. I think that was it's a good phrase.
It's very ambiguous.
Well,
assuming you circle around something, you avoid.
Well, well, I think it means like we're like getting closer to it, right?
I usually swear the issue is
yeah.
Hovering over.
Hovering over or hovering around or
menacing.
Yeah. It's getting us closer. So here's an interesting machlokas we've shown him. So the Rabbi Yonasan Daf Yud says that Hu Adinim Lo'asa Rishon Ala Arba Chamisha Tefachim Ubo Hasheni Behosef Tefach Nistalku Ma'ase Arishon V'Hadanaka Beheshim Lo'asa Arishon Depalag Alei Rebbe. So the Rimu Leniel thinks, look, the Rabbana would hold the same thing is true when somebody digs a boar. Four tefachim, and a second person digs the fifth tefach. The second digger alone will bear liability. Okay. Meaning, the principle here is really about the last actor. Tosos disagrees. Tosos on Nanalev says, "Achron chayiv, dafka hu b'shvil shechidesh misa, shelo hayem eschila." אבל ראשון חס וזה הטס, כולם חייבים בנזיקן. Whereas Rashbo says the same thing as Tosfos, because in the case of one digs eight, one digs, and the second guy digs the ninth, Shahari Boro Shel Zeh Kishel Zeh. It's like equally both of their bore. So I don't know. Do you think this takes a stand on any of these questions? Does this shed light on trying to pinpoint what the Machlokas is about? Well, no? So what are they arguing about here?
Like a poor question. Saying things like socialism and Rashbo's perspective is that like we can't really like consider a poor less than 10 to be analogous or poor more than 10. And so like only the latter actor created this poor now is like a different type of public hazard than it was previously.
Yeah, so on that view, so on the view that there's something special about 9 to 10. But doesn't that imply that we care less about contribution and it's like actually about like who like the shame mazik? And the shame mazik is the person who created the like the killer boar. Whereas it's indisputable that the guy who dug 4 tachim contributed to this boar and the guy who dug 5 also contributed. Right? And what's special, so the jump from 9 to 10 doesn't affect who participated in the Nezek, it only affects like who we might call the Gorim. Right? Because like, oh, he created this Shane Bohr or something, and that's a reason to impose liability on him. Not sure, I don't have a strong view about it, but... No.
This is very out there.
But are you masking, or are you...
Yeah, I mean...
Not masking, or...
I mean, I think I have like a hard, like... I don't know, it might be really far, but like if we like if like when it comes to Machzit the Shekel and contributing to the Korban, we don't say that that the Korban Tamid's that like even though you just contribute like Machzit the Shekel that like you are not responsible for the Korban Tamid. Like everyone contributes to it. So like even though it's not like the full. Even though, let's say, you're... never mind. I just haven't developed the thought enough.
What?
I haven't developed the thought enough.
Okay. Any horrors on this? Any thoughts, like, on whether this is a right analysis, or...
No, I thought, like I said, it was just about kind of like a new shame bore.
So, but why is a new shame bore important? Right? Why does... the fact that you create a bore in a misa, why is that relevant? Right, why does that annul the first person's contribution?
That thing in the first contribution itself wasn't harmful or damaging.
Well, it was harmful in a Nezikin, right?
If it's 4, then it wasn't.
It was. It is harmful. Someone could still get...
Even four
yeah,
tefachim?
Linian Nezikin.
But it's 1 10.
So Shiloh with a less than 3 tefachim. That was the idea of whether you say love
it.
Right, that was the love of Shiloh, the first
lesson. Wasn't our discussion earlier in the year that like, trying to show that the causation is not even a relevant factor for a Nezikin?
Yeah, that's I think that's the contribution side. Meaning it's like, you contributed. It doesn't matter whether you're like the cause of the harm. Participation is what's relevant. Right?
Is participation the same as contribution?
I don't see any principal distinction, but if you have something in mind, I'm happy to hear. So, okay, I mean, my point here is just that if you think there's something special about the formality of creating a bor misa, I would think that factors more into your theory of causation rather than into whether you participated in the harm. And there's something about, yes, if you created the shame bor lemisa, and that's why it's like the bor is nikra al shimcha or something, and that's why we're considering you to be the mazik. And so I think that like favor, that's like prejudice towards this like more formal conception of causation. Whereas if all you care about is who contributed to the nezek, then there's nothing special about the difference between 9 and 10 and the difference between 4 and 5. At least that's my first pass attempt at putting some flesh on this distinction. The second area, the second machlokas about bor, relevant to this discussion in our sugya, is what about the bor that goes, so person A digs a bor asara, person B is mashlam lechaf, person C is mashlam leshloshim. So here the Gemara in Nun Aleph says that Kulan Chayavim. And there's no, it doesn't seem to be machlokas about it. So, why should this case be different? Yoni?
Your contribution would have been significant as its own hazard, independent of other people's contribution.
Okay. And that's significant for what?
Being
what?
Being high.
Okay.
What do you mean? Like,
so you want to know whether you contributed like substantially? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
So to be liable, you just have to contribute substantially. And each one of these people contributed substantially.
Could be.
Is that the idea?
That's what I'm saying.
That's the... Okay, good. So one way of understanding this is that it's not substantial.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is contribute, but you have... Yes, it's sufficient to contribute, but you have to contribute substantially. And in a boar, like it's the, you have to dig 10 tefachim to contribute substantially.
It's 10 tefachim, or is it you just have to contribute to the same amount as the person that
so it sounds like it's specifically 10, 20, and 30. Like, so each
like
one digs 10 tefachim.
They must not be talking about Nezikin then? Are you saying?
No, I think they're still talking about Nezikin here.
Okay, so why not one?
Talking about Mita.
What?
They must be talking about Mita. Why would they talk about 10? There's no significance in the Nezikin of 10.
What's that?
They must not be talking about this evening, because then it should be 1, 2, 3, not 10, 20, 30.
No, the idea here is that each person contributes equally to a shame bore.
That shame bore, by day 10, is Machai and new Misa. That's what's Machai. If they only
right.
did, the last two people only did 9, they wouldn't be Machai.
Correct.
Misa,
so 3
they didn't dig a new bore. By digging 10...
By creating a shame bore, creating a bore Linyan Misa... You've contributed substantially to be Chayavling and Ezekiel also.
And that also doesn't erase the previous person's time.
Correct, because each person's contribution is sufficiently substantial to stand on its own.
So 3 and a third fucking each.
Correct.
You be Chayav.
So
Mita, for the Mita person.
The last guy, I mean?
All three of them equally.
No.
They all contributed equally to a board which could be Mazik. Right?
So I think there we would say that the last guy is only chayev.
For a mita, but then for Nezikin, they're only chayev.
Well, for Nezikin, that would be the machlokas between the Rishonim that we just saw, right?
That would be the same thing.
Well, no, sorry. If each person digs 3.5, 1, 2, and 3,
yeah.
So then only the last guy would be chayev, according to Chachamim, and according to Rebbe, there's split liability.
Uh-huh.
Right, that's the machlokas in our Gemara.
Same thing.
Okay. So let me just point out, this is crucial for later, that
okay.
This
would be more to the other subject, right? Saying it's consistent with saying that it's just their contribution, but it would lean more to the other.
Yeah. The issue then is if you say this is about contribution, and you see that we're requiring a substantial contribution.
Okay, fine.
Right? Is that your point? And if you don't want to say that, then you're saying about cause, right?
Right, and it's easier to say that.
You created a shame bore,
right.
And that means that you're like a cause of the nezek, something like that.
Doesn't fit cleanly.
Because it could cut either way, right?
Yeah.
But what's critical here is that it establishes the need for a substantial contribution.
Right.
You can't just be an inconsequential contributor. Now, it's crucial to determine whether, is this din disputed or not? Does anybody know whether this din is disputed?
No.
No?
But well?
Right, so it's tricky. The Gemara Nun Aleph quotes a stira, quotes this braisa, and says, Barminu echad achover bor asar ba achar desiye b'chiyed ba'achron chayiv. So how does the Gemara answer? So the Gemara says, Rav Zivit says, hava harabanan. So maybe the Rabbanan, remember, so the Rabbanan that we have in our Gemara, that usually the Achron is Chayiv for the Rabbanan. Over here, they agree that each one is Chayiv. Then, Amar Rav Zavid, the Gemara has another Deya, Havaha Rebbe. Both of these Braises are really Rebbe. According to Rebbe, and what does Rebbe hold?
Achron's
Shneim Chayavin. So according to this Ukimta of the Gemara, this Braisa is according to Rebbe. In which case, it's not the case that the Rabbanan who hold in our Gemara at the Achron is Chayav agree to this case that Shneim Chayavim. You could be Okim this price Aliba de Rebbe, who's just l'shitaso, that we distribute liability across all the actors. Whether that reading is correct is machlokas Rashi and Tos, Rashi and Marsha. Rashi says, Havel HaRebi, De'ilu l'rabbanan ki hechi de'patar chofer test min izikin, patri nami hacha l'kamayim. See that? The Rabbanan who hold that you, the Achron is chayiv, in the case of jumping from 9 to 10, will hold that the guy who dug the first 10 and the guy who dug the 20 are patur, and only the last actor who dug to 30 is chayiv. Marshal disagrees. Yamshel Shlomo says, V'af de v'lishna achrina muki kerevi mikamakom nir de lo pligi yach chivai lishni adadi v'shneem emes da'asya kulu l'rabbanan va'asya kulu kerevi. So Marshal thinks that the Rabbanan agree with that price of 10, 20, and 30, like kulan chayavin. Rashi thinks, according to one who came to the Gemara, the Rabbanan would disagree with it. Okay, it's very important for coming back to our sugya in a second. So, let's turn to the second case in our Gemara, and we'll see why this is.
Is it really true that the question of how much one actor's actions persist through time and through other actors is really a question of the definition of causation or contribution? It seems to be a different issue. Like, it seems to be a question of like, whether we're going to have like,
sulky, whether it's like sulky lamaisa rishon or something. Sulik lamaisa rishon.
Right.
Like the way that first Rishon, who was it who said it? The way that Rabbeinu Yonasan said it. Okay.
Right.
He's saying this is just about whether the survival of the first person's action or something.
Right. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't seem to me to be an issue of causation. It seems to be like they should have, like, what do you want to pin liability on? It's going to be like the person that's like the most like relevant burden here.
It's like a last actor theory or something. Okay. Yes and no, because suppose somebody gets injured in the boar, 9 out of those 10 tefachim are created by a first actor. Right? So it's not like his action is no longer here. 9 of the tefachim were created by him.
Right. And so in terms of contribution, in terms of causation, like the first guy is obviously a cause and an act contributor. But it's like that's not like how the Torah like conceives of Nezikin. It conceives of it like who is like the most relevant person that like we should consider like to have like responsibility for removing this attachment.
I'm not sure. Let's see more of the case in the Gemara and then see if that's right. So the second case in the Okay, let me make one more comment here. This is related to what Isaac just said. So Tosfos Ben Peretz asks, why didn't the Gemara just give the Ukimta, sort of what Yoni was suggesting initially, that the Mishnah of Hichsharti Mitzas Nisko, that Chavti Kilu Hichsharti Kol Nisko, is going on the Misa case? And Ladivri Hakol, because everybody agrees in the case where the first actor digs 9 and the second actor digs 10, everybody agrees in that case that the last actor alone is Chayim, because he created a Bor Misa. So why do you think that Gemara didn't give that case? Why would the Gemara prefer to go for the well, according to Rav Papa. So what's the Machlokas Rav Papa and the first day in the Gemara?
Okay.
As Noah would say, why does the stum of the Gemara resist that? So Tosfos Reina Peretz, I think, has a great answer. And it's the Vidish Lomar. Desfirle da Achron lo mikri chavti v'miktas nisko. Tekiva divites like a misa. Uveyur ika misa. Imkein ha'achron chayiv. They're two yourselves. Either v'hu osa or dihu osa hakol. So what's Tosfos Reina Peretz's answer?
The first part of the
problem. Yeah. Meaning we're looking for a case by hypothesis where you do part of the nezek, and yet you're liable for all of it. But if we're talking about Misa, then the guy who dug the 10th is considered to have done all of the nezek. Now, I think this takes a stance on what Isaac was saying, because Isaac's trying to say, well, maybe the issue here is just whether the first guy is considered to have done anything, right? Whether his misa still survives. And the second guy is considered to be the full actor. On Tosfos Rabbeinu being a Peretz's construction, that can't be the case, because the reason why the Gemara selects the Nezikin scenario is because the Gemara wants that the second actor only do mitzvah sanezek. So by hypothesis, we are saying that the prior actor did mitzvah and the second actor did mitzvah sanezek. You see that, Isaac? I think it's a very good answer to your question. Okay? Well, Isaac, why don't you go for it?
Saying that for the Parsha Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, in the Nezikin case, it's not true that the second guy is considered to have done the whole thing, meaning that the assumption is that it is considered that the first guy is considered to have done the partial part of the Nezikin. And so the first guy's actions do persist, even if we're willing to exempt them from liability. So like, it's not true that, like, it's not so that what I've said before, that like, it's just like the first guy's actions are removed by the second guy, and the second guy is considered the sole part of the
thing. See that?
In
the
recent case, the second guy is considered the sole part.
Exactly. And what we need a case where the second actor is only doing part of the Nezek. It's like Isaac was saying, well, why can't I read the Gemara as Nistalku Maisei Arishon, to quote Rabbi Yonasan's phrase in Shimon Kobetzes? So it's like the second actor did everything. That's just, it's a Chiddush and Bor that the first nine Tefachim are relevant. But according to this, can't say that because we need a case where there are two contributors, right? There's a machshir, there's a first actor who's machshir mixas nizko, and a second actor who's machshir mixas nizko.
I was trying to think this is what I was saying though. So like, I was arguing if anything, like you can consider the first guy to be a both contributor and a cause. Like he certainly did contribute.
But he's nostalgic like, in some way.
Right. I mean, like nostalgic just means like in terms of like who were in liability on.
Yeah.
Not really sure. What it is.
Is that almost obvious in a sense? Meaning, if it was a case where it was so clear that one person did all the nezek, then you wouldn't need the second statement in the Mishnah anyway. That's already covered by the first statement in the Mishnah.
Right.
So meaning there isn't really, like, it'd be weird to look at it like, yeah, so meaning all these cases.
Well, this case, so Tosfos Rabbeinu is saying in this case is a case where the second actor does part of the nezek, right? But even in a formal sense, he only does part of the nezek.
Right.
Right.
So the halakha means that in a formal sense, he doesn't the whole nezek.
Were we to adopt the misa example, then the second guy would be doing all the nezek, because he alone created the bor asara, and that's not the case we're looking for.
When we say that in misa he alone does it, we're saying in all senses.
Yes.
He does all of it.
Right. Meaning, with respect to Misa, Bor Tes is nothing, and he fully created the Bor Yud. Right? That's the... So that can't be the case.
That's like different alcohol, except that with Ted, it's nothing with Misa. No one would say Ted
right.
is like Misa minus one.
Right. Except for his answer here, maybe that's what her papa thinks. He's saying, maybe her papa... conceptualizes the Bora Asara Lamisa differently, right? That the Ilulei Shechavru Acher Mites, B'Tefach Shechavru Acheron Lo Vayemes. So maybe like, her papa is sympathetic to your view.
That seems
right.
to be a contribution versus cause.
Well?
That seems to be a contribution versus cause.
Okay, how so?
You know, like the first day, like the second guy, the guy that like falls down.
Right.
So, the papa's view is that no, like the first guy clearly contributed, but like not for him.
Just wouldn't have gotten here.
Right.
Even though formally, like, we don't care. Even though formally, the last guy alone created the Bor Asara, these nine guys contributed to his getting here, or something like that. Yeah, maybe. So the next case in the... Oh, no.
Now might be a good time to stop, since we don't have a minute today.
What are you, Jonah? What happened to you?
I'm just trying to know if I'm setting up for myself.
Yeah. When is she? Like 8 o'clock or something?
Well,
you're like,
how are you starting shop these days?
Big shutdown.
I don't know. I think we should go a little longer. I think we get another 15 minutes in. And you need a dominant hour.
Preferred time.
Yeah.
I don't know if like 20 minutes later.
Sure.
That was
that.
Yeah.
I think 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
I think we should go a little longer. Well, we have 10 or?
No, we have 9. I would if we had 10, I would.
You could have like 6, no? 4:40. What?
4:20
is very 4:20.
You want to go until 6?
Okay, Shlomo Paskin. Shlomo Paskin.
Yeah,
4:20.
Yeah.
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 We have to go find it.
Go figure it out.
So let's take a look at the second case. So the Gemara says, Masiklar Zera, Vesulekar, there are no further cases. So we have the case of Masar Shorul Chamisha Bnei Adam, Pasha Balachamehem, Behizik Chayim. So you give your shor to 5 people to watch, and it causes Nezek. So Hechidam, Hilem and Devalavi, you law of Mintar, Pshita, Diyukavit, El Devalavi, you Nami Mintar, my Kavit. So what's the tension here in the Pasuk Gemara's point?
It's Pasha, how would you be teaching in this case?
Yeah.
Or he's not...
Or not even why would he be teaching us this case, but he's the Osek Kol Nizko.
Right, correct. Yeah.
Right, meaning he alone caused the Nezek. There's nothing about the other people, right, who contributed to it. My God, right? What did he do? So either he's all or he's nothing. How do you get the in-between case? Right? So the question is, when the Gemara says Micah Ovid, so the assumption is that if the Nezek was going to happen without him, without his Pshia, so then what did he do? So we have a little bit shown in here what that means, right? So Rashi says Micah Ovid means what?
Then wouldn't that be?
No. Well, if the damage would have happened anyway.
If he wasn't one of the Shomerim, then.
No. Lavia would have been.
Shomnish
would have been guarded, as the other ones would have been guarded, and now that they breached their Shmira edit damages, then I go.
And wouldn't the damage anyway, even if it's not watching?
Nami Mintar is referring to the other 4.
Right.
Yeah, it would have been guarded by the other 4.
Right, so Micah Ovid isn't like, whatever his action is
what did his breach of Shmira do?
Yeah.
Right, since they could still effectively exercise their Shmira without it. Yeah. That's opposite of what I said?
Yeah.
No, that's what you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the opposite of what I said, right?
Didn't he say, like...
I said the damage would have happened anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what the case of mine. So Mike Ovid, so what did he do? And Rashi here says, Eino Chayav Klum. Right? So Rashi thinks that he'd be totally putter. We're going to see the Rambam in this game on Dalet Zion thinks, V'im Mishtaber B'sharon, Af Elo HaNisharon Chayavim. The Rambam thinks they would all be joined. They would jointly be Chayav. So what do you think underlies this Machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam was the other Rishon also about whether the Micah Ovid means that he would be totally putter or that he would be jointly chayiv.
Whether you need to cough down.
Yeah, so how so?
That's the Brian Sarashi is going to do. If you're not a relevant cause of it, then you're going to be completely done. But the Rambam, not about the fact that you buzzed down, it's the very fact that like you breached your like responsibility of burning and that like it's also like basis for liability.
Yeah. I think that's right. And we'll see this even more clear in the Meiri. It sounds like for Rashi, there's like, look, there's somebody that's gonna become the cause of the Nezek. You're not the cause, since even without your Shmira, the animal could have been guarded. All right, so your breach of Shmira did not cause the Nezek. And so since you're not the cause, you're not chayav at all. For the Rambam, what seems relevant is whether you breached your duty in some way. Right? You were chayav in Shmira. You breached your chayav Shmira, and the animal caused Nezek. So we're going to hold you liable. Even if you weren't the cause of the Nezek. Right? So I think one way of putting this is that for the Rambam, it's more about, did you participate in the Nezek? Or did you maybe contribute to the Nezek happening in some sense, right? It went from 5 Shomrim down to 4 Shomrim. Yes, you're not the cause, because they could have exercised Shmira without you, but you're going to be Chayav. And for Rashi, insofar as you're not the cause, Vaharaya, they could have exercised Shmira without you, therefore you're going to be totally Potter. Everybody agree with that analysis? Yeah, you see how this is like a nice, I think it's a nice way of bringing out the cause versus contribution distinction. Well,
here's the absence of that.
Yeah.
Here is the absence of that cause or the absence of that participation.
Right, well, that's why you're Potter, right? I mean, so the animal caused harm, but I didn't cause the harm, so I'm Potter according to Rashi. Right. According to Rambam, yes, the animal, you weren't the cause of the animal's harm, but you like breached your duty and you participated, you contributed in some sense, right, by knocking it down from 5 Shomrim to 4 Shomrim. Ben?
You see this argument perhaps relates somewhat to the to Rashi's understanding of the Shakti and his spell, meaning on one hand, meaning talking in the object and implying something. You were
just yes, 100%.
In it versus you were mizamein the damage, which would imply like a lack of Shmira element. These other people the poor others didn't
right.
do the damage, but
they breached their duty.
For the damage,
100%. That's a very good way. I think it's a good way of tying in those 2 days of Rashi. Except that there it's about Kol Shechafti B'Shmeraso Hasharti Es Nizko, more generally. And I think it's a good application, right? And especially in terms of whether, if in general, we're looking for the Goreim HaNezek, or we're just looking for someone to pin liability on.
Right.
Right? And so you might say Rashi here is like, you know, working within that second. Rashi here is working with the first view.
Right. But the second view, right?
The first view I thought of Rashi is the one that talks about Brahma. And the second view is about just associating liability. A lot of talking and as a. But yeah, I mean, to the extent that you're saying that there's those 2 days take a position of whether you need to be a cause or something less than a cause, then yes, I think it ties in nicely to. Okay, so let's read the Meiri. Who wants to? There's a great Meiri. So who wants to read it? Seltzer, go for it. So what's the key word here? Yeah. Im shiaso garma es ahezek, right? Did his negligence, his lack of shira, cause the harm? Right? And if so, harizeh shepasha levad chayav. Right? Okay, go on. Vahachirim turim.
Being low garma, shiatom.
To notice again, right? He cares exactly about who the cause is.
Low garma, shiatom, plum. Vushikvar hayim shnamer garba, or is it a pasha klaf? Vahachirim ush pasha. Vika, zepatur mikol lokom. Vahachirim chayim.
So this works out really nicely in this, the way Isaac analyzed Machlokes, Rambam, and Rashi. All right, so the Meiri is in whose camp?
Rashi.
He's in the Rashi camp. All right, and what does he care about? The Goreim, right? And she also garma sahezek, right? Whereas the other Rishonim, they would disagree, and their response to this analysis is that they don't care about who's Goreim the hezek.
Really, also
has right, he says, look how the he quotes the Rambam disagrees, and so does the Gilad the Farshim disagree, and he says, Yischai v'kulam, shekulam shomrim v'kulam poshim. Right? They all breached.
He disagrees with that.
Well, the Meiri disagrees with this, right?
He seems to disagree that he even breached. Right, so in the underlying part, brings a little punch of the problem.
Right.
But that seems to be like irrelevant to the point of drama.
Yes, except that you might say, ironically, Shia has different meanings for the different analyses. Shia, this analysis is about who caused because I raised that little pasha klal. But over here, he talks about lo garma pshiyaso klum. Because even in this phrase, he uses pshiyah in two different senses. So lo garma pshiyaso klum, harizah lo pasha klal. That's not a fiction of terms. Pshiyah means the exact same thing here. Right? So I think he means there's like the fault kind of pshiyah. Who's at fault? And the pshiyah just means who breached their duty. But I think what's nicer is that we characterize the Rambam kulam chayav view as kulam poshim, because they all breach their duty. Kulam shomer but kulam poshim. Whereas on his view, like Rashi, we care about who the cause is. Okay. Thank you for reading that very nicely. So let's take a quick look at the third case. So Maskeflar of Sheshes, Vahika Marva Bechavila. So what's Rashi's interpretation of Marva Bechavila? Yeah, so the first guy lights a fire, and a second guy throws some sticks into it. So Idivalab Ihulo Azla. If the fire would not have caused the damage without the second guy's contribution, then pshita that the second guy's chayiv. Ela divalav ihu azla, my kavod. If the fire would have reached its destination anyway, what did the second guy contribute? Why should he be chayiv? So here again we have the machlokas rishonim. Rashi thinks that the second guy is totally off the hook. And Tosos thinks that it means they split liability. So what do you make of this machlokas here? So Tosus says, "Ma'akavet b'chulu shmaitim tzarach lomar ma'akavet tvei me'arini v'yishalim kol echad chelko v'ein lomar deliftar." Don't give me Rashi's pshat. "D'tanya akvar achokei bor liyud v'bo achar v'hishlimu l'asrim v'bo achar v'hishlimu l'shloshim v'lum chayavim afal gav d'v'lav yihu havanesa." Here? So he doesn't say it explicitly. The question is whether you think he changes his mind from his earlier interpretation of Mike Ovid. Right, earlier Rashi says Mike Ovid may no chayav klum. The question is, do you think Rashi offers a different interpretation from Marav Lechavim?
He probably would have said it.
What?
He probably would have said it.
He would have said it, right?
The first person or the second person?
The second person, Mike Ovid. Right? So what do you make of Tosus' Raya from the Gemara on an Aleph? Does Rashi have a response?
Right. I always have this issue when we talk about a Bor Asara. Like, just because it's a Bor Asara doesn't mean he's necessarily going to die. It's more that's right, you know?
Yeah.
You know, more that's theory about them, it's much more likely he's going to die.
Yeah, what do you do with the Gemara? It says kulam chayavin.
So,
yeah. So you could say Rashi's l'shitaso that, at least according to the second day of Rav Zvid there, that Gemara is only according to Rebbe that shneim chayavin. And the Chokas Rashi and the Marshal. Right? Afal gav divalav ihu hava mesa. Now, Tosus has some important qualifications. What's going on here? Yes. Right? Tosus says we're going to split liability, but only on the assumption that the second actor contributed substantially. Right? So if I just throw a twig into a fire that Noah already lit, I'm not going to share in liability. So when would I share in liability then, according to Tosos? Well?
For two ways.
No, what's the actual share?
A lot.
How much?
Anything that would be equivalent to 10 tefachim in the fire.
Yeah, I think that means that my actions on their own would have been sufficient to bring about the nezek, right? Then I could be made liable. And the Rashba says the same thing, right? He says this explicitly. He says, "V'chi efshar lomar shem hishlech kisa b'mandura gedola sheishchai b'kach." So in order to hold the second guy liable under Tosafot's theory, his contribution has to have been sufficient to cause the nezek on his own. Okay. Now the Nebuka Yosef sides with Rashi, and he establishes a very nice principle here. So what's his rule? So he paskins against Tosos. What's his rule? It's like a very nice...
So, the thing would not have damaged if the Tavranizo would not have been damaged without his input. So then, now that he's lighting his fire, so he's going to be dead.
So, I mean...
It's not sending the Rashba?
It's the opposite of the Rashba. The Rashba agrees with Tosfos, right?
Right?
That there are going to be multiple...
Yeah, only the damage could have occurred without
him. Right. You're only chayiv if you're like a but-for causer, right? Meaning, if the fire would have... If the nezek would have happened without me, then I'm pater. If the fire would not have happened with me, if the fire would not have happened without me, then I'm chayav. Right? That's very different from Tosos. Tosos thinks, as long as I substantially contribute, or I contribute in a way that was sufficient to create the fire, or to cause the nezek with the fire, I'm chayav, or I'm jointly chayav. For the Nebuka Yosef, I'm only chayav if the nezek would not have happened without me. You see that? So this is really kind of puzzling, right? I mean, why should that be the case? Why should it be the case that insofar as the nezek would happen anyway, I'm putter for contributing to the nezek?
Project the nezek into the future.
What?
Well, project the nezek into the future.
Ah, okay. But does everybody see the question? The question, the troublesome question here is like, look, let's say Selter lights a fire on that side of the room, that's going to burn down the desk. I then light a fire on this side of the room, that's about to burn down the desk. It sounds like I'm putter, and so if Selter lights his fire first, I'm putter just because the desk would have been destroyed anyway, on the Nebuka Yosef's theory, right? And the Shulchan Aruch seems to pass in this way. Okay, I'll show you the Shulchan Aruch in a second. So, Isaac says we project the... What is it that we're doing, Isaac?
Project the damage into the future.
In what way?
Consider destroyer, right?
Mona Tavirata. So,
yeah, that.
Well,
yeah,
that. Mana Tavira Tavar, it's a broken plate. So, that's one way of trying to go about this. And that's the Ksosis way. So, the idea is, we know in Halacha, you're potter if you break something that's already broken. Or that's halachically or formally conceived of as already broken. So, here's the classic case. Amar Rabba, this is Gemara Nid Zayin. Zorak kli me rosh hagag ba acher b'shavra b'matal pater. Damin alei mana tavira tavar. So I throw a kli off the roof, It's going to break when it hits the ground. Isaac swings a bat at it while it's in the air. Isaac's putter because he broke something that's already broken. So Isaac wants to contend that this underlies the Nebuka Yose's position in our Gemara. Right, that's the reason why you're putter in our case. Is there a problem with that, or is that
You could say there's a distinction between the Devar HaMizak that's being in motion, that's in motion like the fall from the roof, and the Devar HaMazik that's in motion.
Yeah. Tosus is distinction, right? Okay, so the problem with that is that the Gemara's case of Zarak Kli Mirosh Agag is when the Kli is in motion, and the Kli is therefore projected to break. And the Devar HaNizak is propelled forward. In our case, it's not the Devar HaNizak, let's say the table in this case is stationary, and the Devar HaMazik is in motion threatening it. Now you might say, why does that make a difference? Right, who cares? Tosos thinks it matters. Right, here's Tosos on Yud Zayin Mubiz. Nira, Dim Zarak Evan Ochetz al Kli, Ubo Acher Vikidin Vishivro, Dipshita Dechayiv. So I shoot an arrow at a Kli, and the arrow is threatening the Kli, and then somebody else preempts it by smashing the Kli with a bat. The smasher is Chayiv. Okay? Tosa says, why? Velo Shayiv Kan Manatvira Tavar. He says, because that would render the whole category of tsuros incoherent. Why would that render tsuros incoherent, Selter?
Every tsuros would now be just a case of regel.
Yeah, every tsuros would then be a case of guf, right, which is regel, right? It's because then if you view the harm, the result as being built into the initial maisa, so then it's not the flight of the pebble that causes the harm, it's the actual kicking of the animal that causes the harm. Well,
I don't understand that point.
So the Gemara associates Basar Meikara with Mana Tavira Tavar. So here's the Gemara's case. Darsa al Kli Velosha Rasa Veniskalgel Makamacher Venishkar Magu. So your animal crushes a Kli and it rolls away and breaks. Basar Meikara Azlina Vikufehu. Adilma Basar Tavar Mana Azlina Vitsuros Menu. So if an animal tramples on a Kli, the Kli rolls and then breaks, is that a case of tsuros? Is that a case of regel? Right? See the question? See the question? Or?
I think so.
So an animal tramples on a Kli.
Yeah,
the Kli then moves, rolls, and breaks. So does it break because of the koach of the behemoth, in which case it's regel? Or does it break because of the flight from the animal, which means it's tsuros, right? So Gemara says depends on basar meikara azlina. If you hold basar meikara azlina, then it's regel. And the Gemara then associates basar meikara azlina with this idea of manu tzvira tavar. The Kli is broken from like the moment the animal kicks it. So Toso says that if we apply manu tzvira tavar to cases of zarak chetz, then you can never have a case of tsuros. Because every time an animal actually kicks a pebble, it's as if the animal itself is breaking the thing that the pebble smashes into. That's what's his claim. The Iazina Nami Haka Basamekar Lomishkakas Bitsuros Kasinesek. That's what's his claim. Then he says, Visvara Pshute Hilakali Bain Zoregevan and Zoreg Kliatma. I don't know, are you on board for the Svara Pshuta? What?
No.
No? He's contending that there's a huge difference between I drop the Kli over the roof. That's a manatvira tavar. That's a manatvira. But when I shoot a bullet at it, it's not a manatvira until the impact. Those things, those are clearly distinguished. Now, why is this important for us? It's important for us because our case of the fire right, which Isaac wants to use, which Isaac wants to explain away as a case of Hanatavira Tavar, is not a case where the Davar HaNizak is in motion. It's a case where the fire is like Eish, it's like the Chitzim that are threatening the Davar HaNizak. So on Tosos's view, you can't apply Manatvira Tavar to our case. Isaac, you see the problem? So it's a good attempt, Isaac, but what's the, so how do you, what would you then say? This is the Tosos question.
So is the point really obvious that we can't throw something?
What? No, it's easy enough what we're showing it.
So what's the issue? It's not according to Tosos.
What?
It's not according to Tosos.
So I think the issue is that Shofanara seems to pass again. The Shofanara seems to pass again like that Tosos, maybe? The Shofanara doesn't pass in like Tosos and Arsa, yeah. Yeah, that's a good.
You're asking that if you shoot an arrow in the plate and someone else smashes it, you're fired? Same as smash it, fired?
Yeah, I have to double check.
Okay, Tosa would say that according to their understanding of Zara creates, so by the fire, they should hold that whoever last lit the fire, he's the one who does the damage and he should pay the whole thing. And yet they're saying that everyone's fired. Both let reach one in the after.
So I don't know. So I think Tosa's not an issue for Tosa's at all because those things are all fired.
But of course, also, if we're not, if we don't say butter made kara zingan, we only go after the guy who smashes the glass with the baseball bat, so only the Afghan is chayav.
So you're saying those works out with Shitasa then?
No, he's not. He doesn't work out.
You're saying only the last lighter should be chayav then?
Exactly. Because the first guy is when he's Stalik Meister. He's not at all involved.
I think that's an interesting point.
I think some of the.
You think that's what the Tosis is getting at here?
Hey.
So I thought Victos is asking the other way. I thought Victos is saying, if the Shulchan Aruch holds to this idea of Tosos that we don't say mana tiriyah tavar for a chetz, then we can't explain the Nemukah Yosef Shita, which the Shulchan Aruch adopts, based off mana tiriyah tavar. So here's what I want you to think about for Monday. So I want us to figure out, is Isaac right in terms in interpreting our sugya, the Mugi Yosef's idea that the second actor is pater because the kli is already considered to be destroyed? It's manatvira tavar because the actions of the rishon. On the Tosus is reading of manatvira tavar, it seems like he can't be right. Right. So then, how else can you explain the Mugi Yosef? There's got to be some other principle here about causation or something like that, which explains why the Shani is Pater. So we'll talk about that. Then we'll wrap up this, with the Marba B'Chavila case, the Rambam's interpretation of Marba B'Chavila, and then finally, Chamisha Shiyashva L'Safzol. Okay, so that's what we'll try to do on Monday, and then I'm going to start sending out Mikoros on Peches Nevela. So we'll see if we get to that on for Wednesday already. Okay, good.